Hello, and welcome to the Vermillion Sports Show on KRVS 88.7 FM. This is the weekly sports show where we talk about the latest in Raging Cajuns athletics, as well as any local and national sports. It could be the New Orleans Pelicans. It could be the New Orleans Saints. We have both in this show, in this week. Both the Pelicans and Saints. I'm your host, Louis Prejean, sports editor for the Vermillion, the student newspaper here at UL. I am joined by sports writers Justin Vlasic.
Howdy.
How are you in country?
There's a snake in my boot, you know?
All that good stuff.
Yeah. Is it Kevin Durant in your boot?
Oh, man. I know we're all heated. We just had we've been in the studio for like 30 minutes.
Just talking.
Talking about the NBA Finals. And we're going to talk about the NBA Finals on this show.
Yeah.
So we already had like a pregame, I guess. And then we're just all like riled up about this.
We're a little salty. Mildly salted.
Well, yeah. I mean, Justin, your prediction could still be true, but it's
the first reverse sweep in NBA Finals history.
You had Cavs in seven.
I did.
Cavs in four.
Because what I thought was going to happen was everyone would get their home wins, but then game three happened, and now it's not looking that way. So,
yeah. Game one also happened.
Well, game one, I knew Golden State was going to win that.
Yeah, I know. But we all said that. Your Cavs in seven.
I mean, technically, it's still a possibility.
Mine's still possible. Charlie's is still possible. Charlie, you had Warriors in five, right?
Yep.
And I have Warriors in six, which would be sad if you're Cleveland.
It's kind of looking like Charlie is going to be right.
Yeah, Charlie's going to be right.
Now, the Warriors are going to probably sweep, and then,
all
of us are wrong all the time.
We're usually all wrong, so it doesn't matter. All right, I'm also joined by Charles Long.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Via the phone. Don't know when he's going to be back in the studio. That's okay.
In like 2 months.
2 months? Okay. Man, is that long? Yeah, it is that long.
Yeah, it's only June.
Summer's a while.
Summer is a while. All right, this week we have Cajuns baseball in the MLB draft. Cajun softball adding a high-profile player. This Sun Belt Conference basketball changes. Then we will talk about New Orleans Saints comeback players. Pelicans free agency, which should be interesting.
Hmm.
Funny. Could be a lot of things in that segment. And we'll talk about the NBA Finals because we've covered the NBA playoffs. I know all of our predictions have been wrong, but, you know, we may not predict anything. We might just talk about it. No predictions. We just might talk about things. So there's a lot to get into in our 1 hour. So let's get started with the Cajuns baseball players being drafted. The 2018 MLB first-year players draft happened this past week. And some Raging Cajun players have been selected. Hogan Harris was selected with the 85th pick overall by the Oakland Athletics. Logan Stolke was selected in the ninth round by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nick Lee was also selected in the ninth round by the Tampa Bay Rays. And Colton Schmidt was selected by the Colorado Rockies in the 23rd round. A lot of players that I know Charlie likes.
Well, I love all these guys. I think they were great all season.
Yeah, so what can you say about these Louisiana players being drafted and what kind of seasons they had for the Cajuns?
Well, Schmidt and Harris held down the rotation for us all season long. Schmidt raised his draft stock significantly with his outstanding senior season. Nick Lee, who had a really good freshman season, kind of fell off in his sophomore season. But this past year, he had some good moments. Stolke was out the bullpen, and he was a great closer for us all season long. And then Hogan Harris, like, what's there bad to say about this guy? He came back from so many different injuries, and he still pitched great. He was ranked in the hundreds as far as draft prospects go, but the A's took a chance on him with the 85th overall in the third round. So I'm super happy for him. You know, he's a top three, you know, highest player drafted in the Robichaud era. So super happy for all these guys.
Yeah, awesome to be selected in the MLB draft. So whenever they enter the MLB, who do you see being successful at the next level? Who adjusts the best?
Hogan Harris has a great opportunity to be really successful with the Athletics, especially with, you know, their different AAA affiliates and stuff. He can move up the system pretty fast. He's got, you know, great stuff for a left-handed pitcher. But one guy that I'm kind of looking at that might be able to surprise people is Nick Lee. When he's on, he's, you know, lights out, and he can play great baseball. He's a great pitcher. Issue with him is consistency. But, you know, if he can get that kind of situated in the MLB, I think he's going to be a great pitcher.
Yeah, these are all great players. I mean, that have been talked about plenty of times,
right,
on this program. So those are the Cajun players that were drafted in the MLB draft. For other Raging Cajuns updates, we go to Justin with softball.
So head softball coach Jerry Glasgow announced on Tuesday that the team has signed Ashley Snyder of Salt Lake Community College. According to RagingCajuns.com, as a sophomore, Snyder hit .531 with 34 home runs, 121 RBI, ranking her as one of the top five hitters in the nation. The production led her to become SLCC's all-time leader in home runs with 52, RBIs with 189, and hits with 155. Glasgow said about Snyder, "We wanted to add power and big-time run producer to the middle of our order. Without a doubt, Ashley has tremendous power, is phenomenal in RBI situations, is extremely hard to strike out, and hits for a high average." Snyder will have two seasons of eligibility remaining when she joins Louisiana's roster, starting with the 2019 season. So do you guys think Snyder is what the Cajuns needed, and what impact can she have for Louisiana?
See, all right, Charlie, I don't know if this name is going to ring a bell with you, but DJ Sanders.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like what I was reminded of when I read about Ashley Snyder. It's like the big hitter. I think Louisiana kind of missed that this season. What do you think, Charlie?
I think DJ Sanders led the nation in home runs 2 years ago. She was outstanding, but when she transferred, you know, the offense was kind of missing a few pieces. But what else can you say? I'm all for Glasgow. Go Glasgow. This is a great pickup. 531 is absolutely ridiculous when you think about that. Like, you're hitting, you know.
Yeah.
If you get four at-place appearances in a game, you're hitting two hits a game. Just ridiculous. Her production really speaks for itself, and I'm really excited to see what she can do. 2 years of eligibility as well. You know, it's not like just a one year of her. So I'm really excited to see what she does in the Cajuns uniform.
I know. Great, great hitter. Oh, huge pick. Just look at the stats. 34 home runs. 100. Oh, man. Top five hitter in the nation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ashley Snyder is going to be a good pickup.
It'll be a name to remember for next season.
Definitely. You're definitely going to have to look out for Ashley Snyder, because I think she is what the Cajuns kind of missed, right, with DJ Sanders being out. DJ Sanders being the name that I remember when I first read that. So in other Cajuns news, the Louisiana men's basketball team is already back at it. They had their first team workout of the summer this week. Also announced were some changes to the Sun Belt Conference for men's and women's basketball. These changes will be implemented starting in 2020. 2020, is that a real year?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. We're close enough to call it a real year.
Yeah. I mean,
like 5 years ago, if you told me 2020 was your real year, I wouldn't believe you.
Right.
2020. These changes will be implemented starting in 2020. Sun Belt men's basketball teams will reserve two dates in the non-conference portion of their schedule to play against peer conference opponents. Each team will play a 16-game schedule with five home and five away games played against divisional opponents and three home and three away games against non-divisional opponents. Based on the resulting standings of those 16 games, teams will then be placed in four pods. Pod A with the 1, 2, and 3 seeds. Pod B, 4, 5, and 6 seeds. Pod C, 7, 8, and 9. Pod D, 10, 11, and 12. Each team will play the other two pod members once home and once away for the final four games of the 20-game schedule. So many numbers.
Yeah.
And yeah, pods. This is kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Like, these changes are, like, the pod. Have you ever seen, like, a pod situation?
I haven't.
It's new. I feel like I haven't seen that. The regular season conference champion will be awarded based on the results of the full 20-game conference schedule. There's more changes, but we're just going to stop right there. Charlie, you have any thoughts about, like, this new scheduling system here?
It's definitely interesting. I'm kind of surprised that they made this kind of a big change about the system that they had in place. Kind of worked well. But I'm interested to see how the pods work and how the different five home game and five away games with divisional opponents. It should be very interesting, but, you know, we're going to have to wait a little bit for it. And, No, I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah, it's like makes you wonder what are going to be the effects of that. So Sunbelt women's basketball teams will continue to play non-divisional 18-game conference schedules. At the completion of the regular season, teams will be seeded for the conference tournament based on the results within their pod range. As an example, a team in pod A cannot be seeded any lower than the number 3 seed. So, the pods
throw me off.
They're throwing you off?
Yeah.
I'm just intrigued. That sounds interesting. Yeah. It's different for sure.
All right, so another change is the location of the conference championship game.
Ooh.
The New Orleans Smoothie King Center, That's where the Pelicans play. Mm-hmm. Also where we went for a Pelicans game, in which the Pelicans got a dub.
They did.
They got a win.
Last game of the season
against the San Antonio Spurs. So we may be bad luck on the radio.
But in person, we're great.
In person, we're money. So it doesn't matter. New Orleans Smoothie King Center will host both games, the men's and women's semifinal rounds, as well as the championship games. So a lot of new changes. I think Charlie hit it. Intriguing.
Yeah, that's.
I think that's
the good word.
I'm glad that, you know, even though they're changing it from the UNO venue, that they're keeping it in New Orleans. Because, you know, I was at the UT Arlington game in the playoffs for the Cajuns basketball team. And it was like 90% Cajuns fans because it's in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of glad that they're keeping it in Louisiana because it is a nice kind of home field advantage type deal.
They kept it in New Orleans, which is, you know, I think New Orleans is a good site for,
yeah.
I don't know if you look at any other conference teams where you could host within the state, I don't know. But I think New Orleans is a good, you know, site for a championship game. And the Sun Belt, I mean, I love me some basketball.
Same.
So you throw some changes, I'm all for it. I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, these pods are maybe confusing, but it's exciting. I'm like excited and I can't wait. So it, I read, I might be wrong on this, but I think in that article, they said like a team in pod A, like if you have the best record in the regular season, I don't think it necessarily means you're the number one seed.
Hmm?
Because it's based, on like your pods.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Interesting.
Mm.
So I know that might be troubling because, I mean, the Raging Cajuns basketball team is coming off such a great season.
Right.
Still bringing back
but
a lot of
players.
But this
is until 2020, though. So.
Not until 2020.
That's 2 years. We got this season first.
Yeah. I mean, definitely intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word. All right. So that does it for the Raging Cajuns portion. Yeah. I mean, the summertime, man. We discussed last week.
13 minutes?
We discussed last week that all the seasons were coming to an end.
Yeah.
And now you just see, like, teams getting awarded for their performances in the season.
Right.
You know, you see the men's and women's tennis players were awarded, you know, like, by being on some conference teams, tournament teams, stuff like that. That's really what you're seeing in the summer.
And a lot of people getting signed as well.
Right. I also saw, like, some about Cajun Field. I don't know if you saw that, Charlie, but...
About who?
About Cajun Field.
Oh, yeah.
So there's, you know, a lot of summer. The seasons are over. But that's why on this show, we also talk about the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
We talk about the Pelicans, and we talk about the NBA Finals.
And Disney Pixar brackets.
You know, it might get into Disney movies, like The Incredibles 2 is coming out.
It is.
We discussed about having The Incredibles 2 kick off the show.
But it's not out yet.
Because I heard some great things about the movie.
When it comes out, that's how we'll kick off the show.
Right, yeah. I'll kick it off with my review.
Right off the bat.
Didn't I have the Incredibles, like, winning?
You had it as, like, your all-time.
You had them winning.
Yeah.
I had them winning.
You did.
So you can only imagine how I'm feeling about The Incredibles 2 coming out next week. So, hey, look, I'm just saying, Incredibles 2. We didn't kick it off on the show, but
it did
15 minutes
in there, yeah.
You know, I'm going to discuss that. One take I have about The Incredibles 2, I'm just going to get out the way before we get to the Saints, is that it's okay that Jack-Jack's still a baby, guys. real life does not have to follow the movies.
Right.
Jack-Jack does not have to be a teen.
None of them have aged.
Yeah, I know. I know. And people were complaining about they wanted Jack-Jack to be like a teen or whatever.
What?
It's like, guys, it's okay. Movies don't follow real life. That's okay. It's a movie. Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints.
All right.
Last week, we talked about New Orleans Saints defensive players joining the team and who will have the biggest impact.
19, but I wonder if it's up to 20 yet for Kirk
Coleman.
You think
so? For
I'll check.
Justin Vosich here, sports writer for the Vermillion. Just get his full name out there.
Yeah.
Had Kurt Coleman being the defensive player with the biggest impact. He wasn't alone in that poll. There were 18 other people that did the poll. And if I remember, Charlie, you had
DeMario
Davis. Okay, you had DeMario Davis, who was the majority. Yeah. So Charlie was in the majority of the defensive players who have the biggest impact. Justin was in the minority, but that's okay. He's looking to see that poll. How many people are with him?
I'm pulling it up now.
Did you? Oh, you found it?
I found it.
Okay, so I mean, this week we're going to discuss players that suffered injuries and will return for this upcoming season. So we're going to discuss that. A lot of lists this week. New Orleans Pelicans that kind of have a list for free agency.
Yeah. So,
and Justin, where are we at?
So DeMario Davis is still leading with 1,171 votes, 58%. Marcus Davenport is second with 645. Patrick Robinson is third, 9%, 184. And Kirk Coleman's up to 23 votes.
Okay.
Still at 1%.
Okay. That was a jump. Votes.
Convinced three listeners, Justin.
you convinced three listeners to go in that poll.
That's
like,
all it takes.
That's
all it takes.
Justin's right. You're going to look so good if that works out, though.
Right.
If Kirk Coleman just is like defensive player of the year, that'd be. Hey,
I know what I'm talking
about. You could have been strong.
That'll be the one thing I know what I'm
talking
about.
Cavs and seven, baby.
Hey.
All right. Did you guys look at the list on that line? Don't look at the list.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I saw the question first, and I thought about who I was going to say, and then I looked at the list.
And then you looked at the list.
Yeah.
This is why I shouldn't send you all the outline.
Nice things.
That's why I should not send it. Okay, so you know what? I'm just going to scratch the question, because I said off the top of your head, who can you name that was injured and is going to come back?
Read the list.
But then you have the list right in front of you. We should pause for like 30 seconds. Let the listeners be like,
Who is coming back?
Who can I think of?
Just have like a Dora moment. Just have a. All right.
Just start playing our music again.
The comeback list, or the bounce back list, because we're all about bouncing back. AJ Klein, linebacker, he was out with a groin injury. Alex Okafor, defensive end, Achilles. Alex Anzalone, linebacker, shoulder. Andres Pete, left guard, fibula. Someone else has to pronounce his name. I was trying to pronounce his name.
Haloi Kikaha.
Thank
my
you.
Favorite player of all time.
Really?
Oh, I love that guy.
Well, you just gave it away. I think I know what your answer is. Okay, so thank you for the pronunciation right there. I needed that. He was out with an ankle injury. Nathan Stupar?
Stupar.
Stupar?
Yeah.
I'm bad with names. Nathan Stupar, linebacker, ACL. Delvin Bro, cornerback, leg. Mitchell
Lowen.
Okay. I didn't want to pronounce it or mispronounce it. So Mitchell Lowen, defensive tackle. Ankle. All right. So there are eight players there? Eight players coming back this season? So who has the best bounce back season, Charlie?
Alex Okafor.
Oh, okay.
And I realize that might surprise some people pick a Davenport. But Okafor, before he got injured, was having a career season. He's still young. I think he's only 26, 27. He's a stud on the opposite side of Cam Jordan. And I love the guy. As soon as we, you know, picked up Davenport in the draft, he was saying how he wanted to teach him all he can and stuff and help him develop and stuff. Like, a lot of times you get instances like with Ben Roethlisberger when the Steelers picked Mason Rudolph, when he was super reluctant to help the kid out and, you know, teach him the ropes. Because he thinks that he's a starter and, you know, he doesn't understand why the Steelers picked him. But then you got people like Alex Okafor who are real team players and he really wants Davenport to become the best that he can be, and he's going to help him do that. But I think that Okafor is going to have a great season this year, even with Davenport. He's going to be having to play less downs because of Davenport, And I think that his production will go up because, you know, his injury risk will go down. So, you know, I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Achilles is definitely a tough injury for athletes to come back from. I mean, yeah. DeMarcus Cousins, you're seeing the videos about the comeback. Was it the resurgence?
The resurgence. Zero doubt.
The resurgence. Yeah. All right, Justin. So we have Charlie with Alex Okafor.
Yeah. Mine. What do you got? So, Haloi Kikaha is like my favorite player.
All right, so are you going with him?
No. I'm going to go with Alex Anzalone, because in the preseason last year, this kid looked amazing. And I was really excited to see what he was able to do, and then just he got hurt and we were never able to see. I think he could add a lot of depth to our linebacker core that we really could use. Yeah, I mean, we got DeMario Davis now and stuff, but I think Anzalone would be a huge help there. Seeing him come back is something that I kind of wanted to see last season, but this season works just as well.
Okay, so out of the four linebackers on the comeback list,
yeah,
the one you believe in is Anzalone.
Yeah. Well, because we play...
Even though you love Kiaha.
We play him at, like, almost like a D lineman sometimes. We play him... He's like an outside linebacker, but we play him almost on the line to rush the quarterback. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any worries about any of these players returning?
All right, so I've actually never heard of Mitchell Lowen. I don't know who that is.
That is okay.
So, I'm not going to say
you
him.
Can sometimes admit.
But, yeah. Delvin Bro seems to always have injury problems. Just, I feel like the past couple seasons he had, he's been injured. So, I don't want him to hurt himself again. So, I'd probably say him.
Okay.
When we drafted Anzalone, we drafted him in the third round, and people said that the reason he fell that far was because he always had injury issues in college. You know, when he was healthy, he was always a beast, but he just kept running into these nagging injuries that kept holding him down. So, I mean, I'm kind of worried for him, but at the same time, at this point, with all the linebackers that we have on his team, like the depth that we have is outstanding. So even if he does get injured again, I'm not too worried.
Yeah, a lot of linebackers coming back. And, I mean, that was – would you say the linebacker position was the weakest on the defensive end?
It was definitely the most injury prone. Yeah, we had a lot of rotation there.
Almost hurt. Yeah. You know? I don't know.
Well, but now it's really deep, so.
Right.
Hey, funny how things can change in a year. So, no love for Andrews Pete here, left guard?
On that he's offensive always helpful, too.
Yeah, he's had some injury issues as well, but I think that when he's healthy, he's a great tackle for us. So I hope he can stay healthy this year because we don't have that great of offensive line depth.
I agree.
I was going there. I was thinking like the offensive line, since the Saints will need that. Like, I think out of maybe the most out of any of these positions on this list, I think Andrews Pete might be the most necessary.
It's possible
to come back and have a great bounce back season. So well,
we hope all of them do.
Right. But if you had to pick one.
Right.
I'm keeping track right now. So Charlie has Alex Okafor, Justin Anzalone. I'm going Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, that's what we got for the comeback list. It's always like the bounce back, you know. Yeah. It's tough coming back from injury.
Comeback season.
Drake album. It's a Drake mixtape.
Is that a Drake mixtape?
I don't know why that like popped up into my head. Okay. I don't know why that popped up into my
technical
head.
Technical difficulties.
Is it a technical difficulty?
No, we're good.
We're good? All
right. No, we're okay. Roll. We have the group message. Can you hear me now, Charlie?
Yeah, a little bit better.
A little bit better?
Okay, now for me. It's okay.
I'm sorry. You can hear Justin just fine, though, right?
Yeah, I hear Justin fine.
All right. No, I think it's just because it's selective listening.
Yeah, I'll just be... He likes my takes better than yours.
Oh, he said Andrews Pete.
The hotter take.
He said Kevin Durant didn't ruin the NBA.
Hey, we're not there yet.
Oh, sorry, We're not there. All right. Well, okay, we'll build our way up to the NBA Finals talk because I want a good amount of time to talk about the NBA Finals because I do have a lot of thoughts. I've been watching every single game,
mm-hmm.
You know, but we have to get through New Orleans Saints, New Orleans Pelicans, which we'll talk about right now. The DeMarcus Cousins situation, confusing, it's complex.
Both good words.
Wait, do you have any other words to describe this Is it, not, does it, is it
childish?
Think,
yeah.
Childish?
Do they have to be C words?
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie? Yeah, the DeMarcus Cousins situation is Charlie.
Yeah, it's confusing, complex. Hey, childish, Charlie?
Yeah, all this social media stuff is childish. It's dumb.
Social media has really taken, like, precedence.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it really is.
In, like, the NBA world, you see what happens with Colangelo?
And Julio
Jones.
And
you see all the, like, the pettiness happening?
Everyone's just petty now. They're all just trying to get money, and that's it.
Hey, man, I'm team get money. I'm team go get your money.
You see, I'm team stay loyal, and then the money will come to you if you're good.
You see, that's why you're on the show, because we just have, like, two opposite schools of thought here. But, okay, so the DeMarcus Cousins, do you have an adjective you want to throw out there?
Nah, I like the ones you use. Those are
accurate. Okay, confusing, complex.
Charlie.
Charlie said childish. I'm not saying it's childish. DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins, you know, I know you're listening right now. Definitely not childish.
Two different million sports show.
But there are other targets in free agency that the Pelicans can go after if they are not able to bring back Cousins for whatever reason it is. So I have a list here.
How many people are on it?
There's a good amount. There's a good amount of people.
12. No.
Pay 14. Attention to the last three that 14. I'm going to bring up. Okay. There's how many?
I think 14.
I think there's 15.
Oh, 15? I might have counted wrong.
Okay, so we have about 15 players.
I can't really count.
That's okay. We'll leave the math. We'll leave the counting out of
school
this.
School's out. Right. We can't math right now.
All right, so should I read the entire list, or do you want to, like, pick yours?
Read the list.
All right, I'm going to read the list. I'm going to read the list, and...
Do you need me to read it? Some of these names might be hard.
I want to hear, like, a yay or a nay for each of these.
Ooh, I could get the woo and boo counter up.
Get a woo or boo counter.
A woo and boo counter.
All right. Free agents that could intrigue the Pelicans. Jabari Parker.
Boo.
Boo.
All right, so that's two boos right there. We got two boos on Jabari. Wait, okay, fine. I'm fine. I won't throw my input. Tyreke Evans, who's an unrestricted free agent.
Boo.
Also boo.
Okay, two boos. Oh, man. All right. Zach LaVine, restricted.
Woo? That might be a
woo.
Woo
and
I'm kind of in the middle here.
A woo and a meh.
Like, I feel like LaVine's going to want a lot of money in this offseason.
Yeah.
I can give you a woo. W-B-O-O-S. The B is silent.
Okay.
Okay. That works. Okay, Carmelo. Whoa, Carmelo Anthony, player option, and who knows?
Can I double boo this
boo.
One?
All right, all four thumbs down.
Yeah.
Four thumbs down. Because that's more than two boos. That's the scale right there. All right, so two boos for Jabari.
Right.
This is not a good start.
This is not a good
start. This is not a good start for the free agents. Two boos for Jabari. Two boos for Tyreke Evans. A woo and a silent B on the woo. For Zach LaVine, mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony is four thumbs down.
Maybe we're just hard to please here.
Yeah.
Four thumbs down for Carmelo.
We just don't want Cousins to leave.
Derek Favors, unrestricted. Is it his position?
Is this, again, kind of in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. It's a middle one.
Two woos with a silent B.
Two waboos.
Waboos. This could be something. Trevor Ariza, unrestricted.
Boo.
Wow.
You were quick on that one.
What are you, Justin?
I'm at 0-12 in game 7.
Okay, wait, hold up. I know we know about game 7, Charlie. All right, against the Warriors. But we have one boo and one woo. For
this could
Trevor
be a segment.
Ariza. This
woo or boo.
New segment. We just create them. All right, so Will Barton.
This is a woo for me.
He's a what?
He's a woo.
Okay. We have a woo.
Sure.
I really like Will Barton.
I would have been in the middle there. So.
I'm a woo.
I'll lean towards woo.
I'm a woo. Like,
you know, he's a young player just entering his prime. He's 27. And this past season, he averaged the most points per game of his career. Like, for his career from 2012 to 2017, he's averaged 10 points a game. This past season, he averaged almost 16. On 45% shooting, 37 from the 3-point line.
Yes, convince Justin.
Yeah, no, I'll be a woo.
Very, very solid young player.
Yeah, I'm Team Barton. It's just it's important we do the woo or boo, because if they were to sign with the Pelicans, your first reaction has to be either a woo or a boo.
Or woo-boo.
Or woo-boo. We're like a woo-boo. Mm. All right, Avery Bradley, me. Unrestricted.
Kind of a boo for me.
I'd say woo.
Okay, one woo.
He's like, in my opinion, Avery Bradley's kind of a worse version of, like, Drew Holiday.
Yeah, well, Avery Bradley and Drew Holiday, I don't think, could exist on the floor together. Probably
well, he'd be a good bench player.
They probably couldn't exist. J.J. Redick, unrestricted free agent.
That's a boo.
I got two
actually,
different...
you know...
Wait.
Depends on how much money he wants, because then you just get paid like $20 million per year.
Yeah, he got paid like over year. $20 million a year for 1 year.
Yeah, I'm not giving that to J.J.
I'm just thinking pure talent, money's out the window. I'm going to say woo. But you throw
he's
money
a good
in
shooter.
There.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so where are we at?
I feel like J.J. Redick off the bench for like not that much money, that, like a six man, would be awesome.
Woo.
Yeah, I'll say woo.
Two woos. Two woos for J.J. Redick. But two boos if he gets $20 million a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Let me throw in that clause there. Two boos.
we're writing up a contract.
For $20 million.
You must read the fine print.
Okay.
Woos will turn to boos if want more than $20
million. I'm keeping notes.
Year.
Okay, this one's interesting here for the free agent for the New Orleans Pelicans. Alfred Payton, restricted.
Woo.
Free agent.
I'll say woo just because he went to UO.
Okay, that's three. Just because. Bias. I'm a woo because I think if you sign Payton, you don't get Rondo, but Payton is kind of a Rondo.
Payton's the same type of player as Rondo,
yeah.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
He's like a younger Rondo.
But he's not, he's missing those, like,
the fundamentals.
Experience and the everything that comes with experience within the league. But that's okay. That's what happens over time. You learn it. So I'm a woo on Alfred Payton. And as we all are.
All woos.
No buys. Okay, this one I thought was possible, and then game three happened, and he raised his stock up a little bit, and now it's kind of got me worried. Rodney Hood, restricted. Okay, I just want to say, before y'all woo or boo, I'm a woo, by the way, on Rodney Hood.
I like Rodney Hood. I think he's a good young player.
He admitted that it's difficult playing with LeBron.
Yeah.
He's so underutilized, though.
There's no guarantee that LeBron's going to be back in Cleveland next year either. So.
Did you see what Skip Bayless tweeted? I know we don't get into this, but.
No.
Charlie, tell me you saw what Skip Bayless tweeted.
I don't think I did.
All right. Wait.
Was it about, like, Kevin Durant
okay, wait.
He's the best
guess the tweet.
Guess the tweet?
Yeah,
no,
guess
this is a segment again? Two new segments.
I'm just like throwing segments out here. No, okay, so y'all don't know?
Mm-mm.
No.
Like, no idea. All right. Fine. That's fair. Because I don't think you could think of a ridiculous tweet that would match this one.
If it's Skip Bayless, it's probably pretty out there.
You think so? Okay.
He's known for some outrageous tweets.
I'm trying to exactly quote him. I want to go to his account. Okay, I'm on his account. I want to exactly quote him. I don't want to get anything messed up. You ready?
Yeah.
Never thought I'd see this. Rodney Hood has turned into LeBron James.
What?
Okay.
Just let that one sink in. So Rodney Hood, his stock went a little bit up. And you mentioned that he's underutilized. He's not utilized, like, at all in Cleveland, which is very true. He's a good player. We saw what he did.
He's done a great year for Utah before he got traded.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's difficult to adjust playing with a player like LeBron.
I think he dropped 30 on the Pelicans earlier this season.
He did. I was at that game.
I'm going to go woo on Rodney.
I'm a woo on Rodney Hood.
Yep.
All right, three woos.
Yep.
All right.
Rodney Hood.
Okay, so... I put Rodney Hood, and I thought maybe we could get him cheap. Like, cheap-ish.
Not after the last game.
I know. Because of what Cleveland... So, I don't know. I think a team could still get him cheap-ish.
Relatively.
After his stint in Cleveland. I don't think it's his fault, though. I threw this one in, Luke and Mbah Moute.
Boo.
Unrestricted.
Boo, yeah.
Okay, I was a woo... And I'll tell you why was a woo, because he was very solid for Houston, but then he got that shoulder injury, and he's been scared to lay it up or do anything regarding shooting the ball.
Right. I'm still boo, but...
You're still a boo?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? One woo, two boos.
Before we get to these last three names, y'all want to do like a top three from this list?
Okay, would you want to rank them?
Yeah. Okay. Or just like three players.
You're like ideal? Your ideal? Yeah. Like prioritize these?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Who's going first?
Oh, wait, okay, I have mine. I have my three. You have your three?
I need the pen.
Just
so I remember.
In priority, who would you want first?
Let's let Charlie go first, too.
All right, Charlie, you go with your three.
I think my favorite on this list is Barton. You know, he just had a great season on his contract year, which is kind of worrying, but I think that he can probably keep it up. A very good shooter, very good player. I think he could fit right in. I think my second player is actually Peyton, because if we do end up keeping Cousins, I think that he's the type of player that would fit perfectly as a point guard in New Orleans, kind of like a Rondo type player, as we were saying. And then my third player, I want to say Redick, but I know he's going to cost a lot, so I'll go ahead and say Hood's my third player.
Okay. So Barton, Peyton, and Rodney Hood.
All right, for me, this is just, you know, if money wasn't a thing, I guess. I'm going to go J.J. Redick first, because I feel like he could provide a huge help shooting. He's a tremendous shooter. He'd be probably coming off the bench if we were able to keep Rondo and Holiday. We probably wouldn't be able to afford Redick if we kept Rondo and Holiday, but still. He could provide a huge boost, especially with Mirotić, that our bench would become a lot scarier. Two, I have Rodney Hood. And then three, I want Barton.
Barton.
Indeed.
Okay. I don't know where he ranks in here for me, but I think the most interesting signing, if it were to happen, which I know it's not going to happen, is Zach LaVine.
Really?
Wouldn't he be kind of exciting in New Orleans? I think he would.
Would you play him at the three?
Yeah. You'd play him at the three.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think he'd be exciting there. Like,
my only issue is how much money he wants.
I know. Well, and the thing is with LaVine, I'm tired of Anthony Davis catching lobs. And I've been anti-Anthony Davis lob for this past year because, dude, it only leads to like an injury.
Ankle injuries.
And, you know, there's a lot of nagging injuries that Davis suffers. So to replace those exciting lobs, I would have Zach LaVine. Just have Zach LaVine in there. I think he could be nice, but again, he's a restricted free agent. So like another team could throw crazy money at him and I would not want the Pelicans to match it.
Right.
Or like try or up it. You know what I mean? I like Barton. It's like Avery Bradley he just can't exist on that team. I'd kind of like him as a player, but he's not in my top three. I like Hood. So I'll go Barton, Hood, and Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is definitely an interesting one for me. Just you know, switch it up. All right, so the last three I have on this list, it's what if the NBA was perfect and if life was perfect, this would happen? That you could acquire these players tier of the free agency?
But the Pelicans.
Pelicans. LeBron. Paul George. Where are we on the woo and boo counter? LeBron, Paul George, and Chris Paul.
All woos.
Woo, woo, boo.
What?
Whoa. Spice.
Not like Chris Paul. What?
Oh, yeah, okay. Charlie's not Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is 33 years old, and he wants a full max contract, and that's a no for me.
Two woos, one boo. Paul George, where are we at?
I like Paul George. I think he's
a good player.
Three woos?
Three woos.
And LeBron's obviously got to be three woos.
Yes, obviously.
He's four woos.
I don't even care if LeBron signed a one-year deal. It was like, let's test it out.
He could sign a half-a-year deal, and I'd be okay.
Yeah, he could leave us.
The second half of the season.
After the All-Star break, he could leave, and I'd be okay.
Thank you.
Okay. any scenario where you, LeBron, Paul George, and Chris Paul come, or Chris Paul comes to the Pelicans?
We'd have to give up a lot.
Like, you think a sign and trade with involving Cousins for any of those guys?
I don't think that would be smart. Especially not with LeBron and Chris Paul, because both of them are really old. I could see maybe Paul George, but I don't think
there's a chance to do a sign and trade with Cousins for like Paul George. But Paul is probably out of the plan. LeBron is, you know, he's going to go wherever he wants this summer. And if he picks New Orleans, great. If not, you know, good luck to him wherever he decides to go.
LeBron's the most New Orleans
realistic of those three, and crazy. I'm using realistic as like an asterisk next to it, because I don't think any of these are going to happen.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah,
let's go on record to say right now that this is absolutely ridiculous, and I don't think any of us actually believe LeBron, Paul George, or Chris Paul would go to the Pelicans. Are
Paul
we all
George
in agreement?
Would be the I don't want to count out player. Yet. Paul George would be the type of wing player that I think the Pelicans need.
Yeah.
If they want to try and do that same kind of basketball that they played in the playoffs, where they didn't have Cousins and they played fast with the. With a fast young lineup.
Right, because you could keep Mirotić and AD on the floor together, and then you'd have
yeah,
just Mirotić plug in Paul
AD
George where
Paul
Solomon
George
was.
Rondo and Holiday. It's a very solid lineup, both offensively and defensively. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I think we get Kawhi Leonard. I think it's possible. He's not staying in San Antonio, and he's not a free agent. We'd have to trade for him.
I think you sign and trade Cousins for Kawhi.
I could see that. I think that'd be smart.
But
not for
the Spurs. I don't think Spurs are taking any offers that was reported.
You know, it's funny that if we were able to pull off a sign and trade deal to get Kawhi Leonard to New Orleans, a fully healthy Pelicans team is like the team built to beat Golden State.
Yeah,
just straight up built to beat the Warriors. Like, just such a good defensive team. I think it would be one of the best defensive teams, period, in the league, if not the best defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
We'd probably have three all-first team defensive players, but then you also have a bunch of offense with those three players, you know? So I think that'd definitely be interesting. Will it happen? Probably not.
I've seen a bunch of pictures of LeBron and Kawhi in New Orleans jerseys, and it just makes me want that even more.
It's a pipe dream.
Definitely,
but it's something that I like to think about, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like that meme where is it Wolverine is laying in the bed and like touching the picture.
Yeah. But that's me in real life with the Kawhi
and Kawhi LeBron
and LeBron in the frame. Kawhi Leonard, that's interesting. You're not worried about his injury?
No, I think. I mean, I'm worried more almost about Cousins' injury than Kawhi's. Cousins is an Achilles injury, you know. And what did Kawhi have?
Honestly,
it's been a while since
he
got
hurt. Are you replacing
hurt.
Leading researcher Charlie?
I'm looking it up.
He's got.
Oh yeah, I know my guy.
Yeah,
I know the leading researcher.
It was a quad injury, I think.
Yeah, okay, I think so too.
So I think Achilles is harder to come back from than a quad injury, especially as a big man. It's hard to come back from an Achilles injury. So I think if we were able to do a sign and trade with Cousins for Kawhi, that would be okay. It would be a very smart move, but I don't know. I mean, you said San Antonio wasn't looking at offers, but every team says that until they get the right offer. So, you know, it's all speculation, but it could be interesting if it did happen.
It all is. You know, also just wanted to announce this, Alvin Gentry got an extension through 2021, I believe.
Or 2 years, right?
Yep.
So 2020? Because it's 18? I don't know how it works.
Leading researcher. No, I got the notification. Gentry. With the new deal. I don't know. I get so many notifications about sports.
Yeah.
So it's till 2020?
2020. Yep. So Gentry got extended. Congrats to Alvin Gentry. I know people were kind of putting him in the coach of the year.
Yeah.
They were kind of putting him. I'm not saying he was like front runner. You know what I mean? But they were kind of putting him. They were like, hey, don't forget. Hey, Gentry had a nice season. And he did, and he did. Just so the free agency targets, I mean, the consensus is Will Barton, Alfred Payton, Rodney Hood would be nice, And J.J. Redick would be nice for a nice deal.
Yeah, for a nice price.
Definitely, there's
for not $20 million.
There's an asterisk next to J.J. Redick. I just put one. All right, let's talk about the NBA Finals.
Boo.
Boo. That gets three boos?
three boos for the finals.
Three boos. But
it gets six.
It gets two woos for mine and Charlie's predictions.
I mean, mine isn't out of the picture entirely.
It's not.
But it's extremely unlikely at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Cavs what chance seven. Would you give them to come back?
From 3-0. What would you
like
give them?
Like a 20%
chance. 20%
chance? Maybe. I mean, yeah. It's still pretty low. But it's LeBron. You can never really count him out.
Anything is possible. Charlie, what percent chance would you give them?
Less than one.
Yeah, it's got to be like point.
Like 0.3 or something
yeah,
like that.
I was going to say 0.7, y'all, but that's too high.
You're doubting LeBron. That's what's happening here.
No, I'm not doubting LeBron. I'm doubting like his
he doesn't need help. He's going to drop 100 points, single-handedly beat the Warriors.
You know what was the saddest thing I heard in the pregame show with Jeff Van Gundy?
What's
again,
up?
I'm going to quote him or paraphrase what he said. Jeff Van Gundy was saying Cleveland got a lot of good looks from the three, but they weren't hitting the three-point shots.
I mean, that's
like,
true.
They were creating good offense, players are getting good shots, and they're good shooters, but they weren't knocking him down. You know
I feel
how depressing
like if you're LeBron,
that is?
You're frustrated with the Cavs at this point because you put up 50 points, 50-plus points in game one, and you still lose off a stupid error. Like that's got to
be frustrating.
Even if they
would be up 2-1 right now, like the two games that they could have taken, if they would have won both of them, I still would have given them like around a 30% chance to win the series. Just because you know this Golden State team is just that good,
right? It's hard
no
to beat
disrespect
them four
towards
times.
LeBron or the Cavaliers. It's just you know this is one of the greatest teams ever assembled.
At what point
so
do we?
LeBron's against the wall. You know, there's not much you can do.
I mean, at what point do we say like this is the greatest team of all time?
The Warriors?
Yeah, this Warriors team. They got to win what? They got to repeat?
I wouldn't say the greatest
three-peat?
Of all time. I mean, I think the Celtics when they had KG and Rondo, like those vintage, you know, Paul Pierce, I think that's definitely one of the greatest, you
really?
Know. Kobe, Shaq, that was good. Like it's I don't see this team being the greatest of all time because they have a lot of like flaws. They've got good shooters. And I don't even consider like defense to be one of their stronger suits. Yeah, like they can jack it up from anywhere.
They play great defense.
Kevin Durant plays great defense.
I think the team as a whole. But I mean, Charlie, what do you
Steph
think?
Steph Curry is one of the worst defensive players I've ever seen. The dude just does not play defense.
I understand
like
he tries,
player,
but
opinion.
He just gets attacked.
Right.
Like
he just gets abused on defense every possession.
Right. He's like Kevin Love. Like teams will like abuse Kevin Love on offense and defensive end. It's sad.
I'm just sad that it wasn't the Celtics in the finals because I feel like that could have been a lot better matchup. The Celtics would have been.
Don't be sad.
A
your
lot
prediction
more fun.
Is you're saying Cavs in seven, man.
Yeah, no.
And
I'm
happens,
saying
this is the most exciting finals ever.
Right. No. I'm not saying. I'm just saying it would have been a lot more entertaining. Not that the we've had some entertaining.
I agree.
Games,
I thought about that yesterday. I was.
But if the Celtics would have been in, I feel like the Warriors would have lost one at home. And the Celtics would have picked up the two at their home, and the Warriors would be down 3-1 right now.
Whoa.
I don't think the Celtics would have won one in Oracle. The Celtics all postseason were not good on the road in general. They would have probably won both of them at home, and it would have been probably a 2-2 series going back to Oracle. So, but I still think, in that case, the Warriors went in six. But as you're saying, Justin, I think it would be more interesting because I do think that this is probably going to be a sweep unless, you know, the Cavaliers can pick up game four. But, you know, it would have probably been a lot more interesting had the Celtics won.
I know we're a curse on this show. So, like, my thought is Cavs pick up game four and then Warriors close it out at home in five.
That seems like the most realistic. I feel like
but
LeBron
since I said that, it's going to be
like,
a sweep.
Yeah, I feel like LeBron, though, is almost kind of like the Hulk. Like, you don't want to make him mad, and he's mad now. So he's going to get one win.
Is he mad? I feel like he's not mad.
He might. I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't he be?
I think he's just
he's
on
lost
the
two really close games.
You know what? I'm not going to speculate like a player's you know, emotional state or his psyche, but from his, like...
We're therapists now.
His body... it was funny because Jared Smith told, like, a reporter, he's like, do I look like a psychologist? When he was asked about, like, his emotional state or whatever, or what he was thinking, he was like, do I look like a psychologist?
But, he said he didn't know what he was thinking in the last couple seconds of the first game.
That game won. I mean,
he's like, yeah, I'm not really sure.
If the Cavs won game one, we're doing a lot of hypothetical right now, but if Cavs won game one, it's a completely different series.
Absolutely. And
it's completely different.
I think even if they pick up game three, it's a different series, but now it's just kind of
also doomed. Ty Lue, he's been good all playoffs, but playing Jordan Clarkson so much, he only had 8 minutes in game two, but it felt like forever. Just good for Rodney Hood, though.
Yeah.
It's so depressing if, like, you're a Cavs fan. This finals.
It really is.
Because LeBron's most likely going to leave, even though I'm not totally convinced yet that he's going to leave.
I wasn't totally convinced until I saw this finals. He looks like he's just done at this point. I saw him on the bench after J.R. Smith made that error in game one. He wasn't talking to anybody. He wasn't even, like, high-fiving his teammates at that point. You know, it was... He almost didn't join the team huddle after, like, coming out of the break. I think he's just done.
Charlie, what do you think?
Did we lose Charlie?
Charlie? We might have lost Charlie.
Oh, no.
You know, he's so fed up with the Warriors that I know he just, like...
I'm sorry about that again.
Okay, no, he's back. I was about to say, you're just so fed up with the Warriors that you probably just hung up.
I think he really was defeated after game one. You know, that was their chance to pick one up on the road. And had they done that, they had an opportunity to protect home court. Granted, you know, Kevin Durant went nuts last night and he ruined their home court opportunity. But if they would have picked up game one, I think it would have been a totally different series, like y'all were saying. You know, a lot of fake gets put on J.R. Smith for that boneheaded play. But had George Hill made that free throw, you know, maybe we're looking at a totally different series.
Yeah, because then Golden State would have had, 3 seconds to get
all the way
down
the
court.
Don't have a good history about hitting, like, game-winning shots.
Right.
It's pretty ridiculous that the referees didn't give LeBron that timeout either.
Yeah.
Like that, he clearly called for a timeout before it was done, before the game had ended, and they didn't give it to him.
And if you could – okay, here's the thing. Here's where the replay situation gets tricky. If you can reverse a block and charge call, which I've never seen happen in an NBA game.
Oh, that was awful.
Okay, I've never seen that. So you can't review, like, the last play of the game, maybe, to see if someone called a timeout? Like, you think, like...
It's so hazy what
you can
and can't review.
Here's
what happened. They went to review to see if he was in the circle or not. And then after they realized he wasn't in the circle, they were able to change the call.
Had they not
been able to review if he was in the circle or not, they wouldn't have been able to change that call. They wouldn't be able to just go review if he was set position. I thought that was ridiculous. Had that call not been made, the Cavs were up 2 with the ball with 30 seconds left, and I think they won the game. But, you know.
And I was saying, like, I've never seen that before. And I was like, I watch a lot of NBA.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, maybe I haven't watched enough NBA. But I'm listening to guys that have been watching the league for 20-plus years, and they're like, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so I'm not going crazy. They've never changed a block and charge call.
Right.
That's – oh, come on. That's bad. But the Warriors are a better team. That's obvious.
Yeah.
They're a better team. Like, you look at game three. Like, three of their all-stars had so-so or bad games. But Durant had a great game.
Had 40
and guess
plus.
What? You lose.
Yep.
Because Durant had a great game. Because one of their all-stars is definitely going to have a great game.
If one of them is on there, they can't lose. You need to stop all four of them, and it's impossible.
You can't. And that's it's crazy, man. It's crazy. The Warriors are a better team. And
still not the greatest team of all time, though.
Okay. Fine. That's fair. The NBA Finals, man. It's just so sad. And – you know, I know we weren't excited, but game one kind of gave you that hope. Game two crushed it.
And
game three was like, maybe I'm excited again because what if the Cavs protect home court? Game three just destroyed all excitement.
All hope. Now no one is looking
game
forward
three
to game
was interesting until the end. Then the Cavaliers just collapsed.
I mean, LeBron
really kind of shined at the end of that game. which is kind of funny because throughout the playoffs, a lot of people have really been bashing on Durant because his clutch shots have not, or like his moments in clutch time have not been good at all. And then he hit probably the biggest shot in the playoffs with that, you know, 30-foot three-point shot at the very end of Game 3. But no, I just don't think it's competitive anymore. You know, like, this is a LeBron James. Like, LeBron James is playing some of the best basketball of his career. I will agree that his team is not great, but he's supposed to be one of the greatest to ever play the game. And because you have that 73-win team combined with Kevin Durant, who's an MVP, and he's about to be a 2-time final MVP, you know, there's not competition. Like, if LeBron gets swept here, this is what the Warriors wanted. The Warriors said that they wanted to sweep LeBron out of Cleveland. And if they accomplish that, I don't believe that there's any parity in the NBA anymore.
You're right. I mean,
could you imagine if LeBron leaves Cleveland and decides to go to Golden State?
That would not happen.
It wouldn't happen, but I mean, Golden State would. The NBA would.
I think Stephen A. Smith may have said, like, on ESPN, LeBron would talk to the Warriors or something like that.
Yeah,
but you know, that's speculation.
That's what we do.
You know, Charlie, I'm glad you brought up. So we have a couple minutes. We have 2 minutes. Finals MVP. So people are saying Game 4 could be for Finals MVP between Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. I want to know who you guys have for Finals MVP.
Who's after getting Game 3, MVP? I just got to give it to Durant.
Okay.
You know, the more I look at it, the more I see that this Warriors team outside of Durant has not played that great in the finals.
It's very
Curry
true.
Had a good game in Game 2, but Durant in Game 3 really sealed the deal for me. You look at the numbers, and Durant's just beating Curry in everything. Like, points per game, field goal percentage, literally everything is going in Durant's favor. So I have to give it to him.
Okay. I'd agree. I'd go KD. He's really shined this finals series. I think they're going to end up winning because of him. So I think he deserves it.
But if Steph Curry has a great Game 4 and the Warriors win, does it go to Steph?
I think even if Durant has an okay Game 4, it still goes to KD. Like, Curry can drop 40 in Game 4, but if Durant has 25, I think he should still get it.
All right, so in Game 4, LeBron's going to go out with 48 points, 12 rebounds, and let's say 14 assists. And then he wins Finals MVP, regardless of getting swept. That's my prediction right there. LeBron James. Because I'm convinced, remember when he lost in, what, 2015? And he had that great series, but they lost in 6 or whatever? And people were like, he should have won Finals MVP regardless over Iguodala. I'm being ridiculous, but I'm just going to go LeBron James because that's... I got to admit, that's where my heart is. Guys, I mean, depressing end to the show, an otherwise great show.
Well, we could just woo...
Warriors in 5. Who else is stunned by this?
Warriors in 5. It's depressing. It's so depressing.
Celtics in 7. Next year.
Yeah. That will do it for myself, Justin. So depressing. But it's been a great show. It was fun up until the NBA Finals, and we had to talk about the Warriors being super good.
I mean, that was
good.
Still fun. It was
they're really good.
Mildly depressing.
You know? So NBA Finals, 3 boos.
Three boos.
That will do it for myself, Justin, and Charlie this week. Thank you for talking sports with me, as always, guys. If you missed any part of the show, you can listen to it online at krvs.org. Programming on KRVS comes to you each week through the generous support of listeners like you and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Thank you for listening.